Hi, everyone. It's nice to be back again with another gospel program and with the Word of God. And we hope you enjoy again today with us a group that's known as the Elkwood Quartet. And we hope you enjoy their numbers as they sing for you. The first number, There Is a Land, and we hope that you enjoy this number very much. The next number they're singing is the song entitled Going Home. Thank you. The next number, Potter, Here's the Clay. Next number, He Can.
Well, who can speak your clipper and stand that open goal? And who can call the open goal? Here it's short and tall. And who can call the pure ground? I say, that is me. Then jump in the play, touch it away. Hey, 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 hey
Next one featuring Brother Kenneth, It Had to Be Love.
Till it's given away. The gift is not a gift till it's received. Comes in the sun as a token of love. The gift of salvation.
Study just a little bit and talk a little bit more, or continue to talk about the two ways to live. Of course, this has been a great deal of my talk since I've been on the air, is to talk about the ways that people live. And of course, one of them is for God and the other is for Satan. And we want to talk some today and on the Beatitudes and on that the Lord and what He actually means to you and I, and His dependence in us if we're going to be Christians. And as I've said throughout the time that I've been on there, I'd like for you to consider yourself of which side that you are on, and how that you've been working for the Lord, or if you've been spending your time properly for Him. Of course, as we know and as we've talked so many times, I'm talking to people now that are not born again, and I'm talking to people I hope that are born again. If not, I'd like to advise you the advice that the Lord has given us. And we realize that when Christ was born into the world, that He came for the purpose of saving men and women, causing them to be able to live a life for the Lord in this world, and continue in the light that He was in the light. And I'd like to read, read from the fifth chapter, and start about the 13th verse, following the Beatitudes, and just consider the light that a person must have and must be if they are Christians. And of course, if they're not Christians, they won't have this light, and the light, there's no way that it could shine, because without being a child of God, without being born again, there's no possible way that you can live for God as He has required of you. But the 13th verse reads like this: Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, of course, this is talking of a good life. This is talking to people that will and wants to serve God. And if we want to serve God, we can. If we want to do the things that we need, we can. But it's only through repentance and through the drawing power of God. If God doesn't draw a person, then there's no way that they could come to him. But through the drawing power of our Lord, we can become children of God. And when we do, he's expecting from us a life that can be lived only through him. But he's expecting us to live a Christian life. Now, many people claim to be Christian, but spend their time in worldly things. There's no way that this can work with the Lord. There's no way that it would be a light for him, because it'd be like a bad fruit. It'd be like a fruit that would maybe be part good on one side and rotten on the other. But we must bear forth and bring forth a light for the Lord. We must, as we live here, be a light. What is that light, you say? Well, that light is a good life, a life that's free from the sins of this life, only directed through the Holy Ghost. As I've talked many times in our programs since we've been on the air, that only through the Lord can this life be lived. But I'd like for you to consider, are you living this life? Is your life in accordance with the Word of God, as the Lord would require you to live? If it isn't, I'm advising and begging, I'm pleading with people to change their lives. This world would be so much better of people serving God, people with the light of Christ in their life, with Christ in their hearts and in their souls, serving him day by day in their life. The Lord come, and he come for a purpose, and that was to set up a new and a living way, a way that men and women could live for him. And as I've read this and talked to you about it some now, we must have this good light, this life to be this good light that the Lord would have us to. And of course, then the other way, and another way to live. And of course, it's for Satan. It's not for the Lord. There's no way, as I've quoted and read different times on this program also, that a man can't serve but one master. There's no way. But here's some advice and talk relation to the law of Christ. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So this is one of the Lord's purposes, was to come to fulfill the law. And of course another was to fulfill the prophecy of the old scriptures, of the word of God that was taught through the law and through the Mosaical law. But his life was come, or he came, that he might fulfill this. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you see here, he's bringing forth an example in this scripture that our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, of the scribes, and of the people of this life. That there's many people that live a good life that's never been born again. But the thing about this, Jesus taught in the scripture that you must be born again before that you could be in the family of God. So a good life is just not enough to get back. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou remembrance that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in a way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast in the prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out of thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So you see, friends, today, this is a close thing. And of course, I realize that people, they take this and they turn it around and they make different things about it. But the Lord thinks, and normally, as he was here and as he wrote this and inspired it to be written, and he realized that you and I would know of our bodies and know about ourselves. And, of course, he used this body, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. And in this a close place now, just stop and think that he used the human body to explain. And if you and I, it says that it's better. If we're offended with one of these, to just cut off part of our body, destroy it to serve God. Because if we don't, the whole body will be cast into hell. And my friends today, let's think on this and realize, are you living the kind of a life that's pleasing to the Lord? Or do you worry in your mind or care how that you live, how that your mind runs toward and for God? Are you a Christian? And I'd like for you to think about it, because just as sure as you and I are here today, the Lord is coming back, and he's coming after people that's looking for him. He's coming without sin unto salvation. And as I think on these things, as he has said, I must live with my friends. I must live with my brothers. I must live with my neighbors a peaceful, a quiet life, a life that's pleasing to God. I've thought about this so many times in my life that it's so easy for me to get myself in a way and let things bother me. Everything is not pleasing to us. But my friends, we can be peaceful people. We can be loving people. We can be people that cares for God and that God cares for us. And of course, only does he care for a good life. Only would he care for a person, and the only person that will enter heaven will be a person that's living a good, peaceable life. And I'd like for you to think about this, because one of these days, the Lord is coming back. And he's coming after those that are looking for him. He's looking for those that are expecting the Lord to come back. I realize that it's going to take all that a man and a woman can do when it comes to the day that we face the Lord. And we come there for the last time, realizing that this is when the decision is going to be made. We're either going to torment or we're going to heaven. And I'd like for you, as I've talked to you today, to consider, if you've been following me in these programs, you realize that I'm not trying to belittle anyone. I'm just trying my best to get before you a clean life, a Christian life, one that like the Lord lived, one that cares, one that loves and loves the goodness of the Lord and not the things of this life. As James told us, the only thing really that can destroy us is for us to follow our own lust and our own entice. Follow that our body would crave, because we're made for this world. But if we will just hold on and hold on, if we're Christians, if you're not a Christian, of course, there's no way for you to serve God and serve him in the matter and the way that he has for men and women to live for him. But you can, as a sinner, come before God confessing your sins, asking God to forgive you, seeking God for the Holy Ghost. And as I've told you, it comes as it did on the day of Pentecost, and you can read it carefully. It's the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And I'd like for you to do this. Now our time is gone, and I'd like for you to bow with us in prayer. Our Father, it's again that we approach thy throne. We thank you, Lord, for this another privilege. And we realize, Father, that there's many people out there that's listening to us, no doubt that can't go to church. But we'd like to say and do something that would reach into their hearts and help them, Lord, to understand. Most of all, Lord, heal the souls of those that don't know you, and the sick and the afflicted. Touch them by the powers of you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.